Okay. So we are on the bottom of Zayin Amunov. Today's Amun is Zayin Amun Beis, right? Rav Yosef Amar, and we're in the middle of proofs about what, how we know that the Megillah was written by Ruach HaKodesh, right? Okay. So Rav Yosef Amar, sorry, one thing I didn't mention yesterday, in terms of the list of proofs, there were a series of proofs which basically revolved around storyline elements in the Megillah, right? This, that, or the other couldn't have happened, or couldn't have been said to have happened without some sort of divine inspiration, because otherwise the statement doesn't make sense, right? Mm-hmm. Right? The Shmuel's proof, the one thing which does distinguish Shmuel's proof from the Shmuel as a Pshutash might Kimula Mela Masha Kiblu Kfar, Masha Kiblu Mata, as a Pshutash Mrikarid, I don't know if it's the strongest, but what makes Shmuel's proof that it's divine fundamentally different is that Shmuel isn't about a storyline element, mm-hmm. right? Shmuel is, in that sense, more of an assertion of faith in divine in divine imprimatur given to halacha, mm-hmm. right? So in that sense, there's a very significant theological difference there. Mm-hmm. Parenthetically, my rabbi, Professor Yaakov Elman, once told me that he thinks that might reflect certain theological differences between Bavel and Aristotle in terms of their perspective, but that is mm-hmm. a much longer discussion, which I'm happy to have at a different time. Okay. Okay, so Rav Yosef Amar Meach, Rav Yosef said that a proof should be brought from here. V'imei ha'pirim ha'ele lo yavru mitoch ha'yodim. Okay, this is already close to Shmuel's proof, right? These days of Purim will never leave the Jews, meaning how can you make a statement like that unless you know it? Mm-hmm. Okay. It's obviously not an amazing proof because you can say it's prescriptive as opposed to descriptive, right? Right. Anyway. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Meacha v'zichron lo Yosef Mizar'am. Right, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak said the same thing, and their memory will not leave their children. Right, and that one already, maybe it's less comfortable to say prescriptive, I'm not really sure. Okay, fine. Umatonos lev yonim. Right, so remember the Mishnah says, Ein bein adar rishon la'adar sheni, ella kriyas ha'megillah umatonos lev yonim. Right, so now we're going to go on matonos lev yonim. Tani, Rav Yosef taught. Rav Yosef repeated a teaching that he had heard from somebody else. Tani comes from the word shanan in Hebrew, right, to repeat. Right. Umishloch manos ish l'riyehu, shtei manos le'ish echad. So, mishloch manos, from one man to the other, that means two portions, right, go to one person, two different items of food. Right? Note. There is a chumrah to make them have different brachos. Not necessarily mikra then, but they do have to be two different items of food, and they do have to be ready for consumption. Matanos levyonim, shtei matanos lishnei vnei adam. Right, matanos levyonim, gifts to the poor, right? Two gifts to two people. Okay.
So that's one gift to one person.
What?
One gift each.
Yes. Yes. Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, Shada later Rabbi Yoshaya, Atma de Igla Tilsa, Vegarva de Chama. Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya, that is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, right? Gave to Rabbi Yoshaya the thigh of a third cow and a skin of wine. That was, no, said Mishlach Manos, or Matan Sol Yonim. Okay, so in our minhag it's called Mishloach Manos because we tend to give money as Matanos Lev Yonim, but it's actually Machlokes Rishonim. There are many Rishonim who think this is Matanos Lev Yonim, you're really meant to give food. Right, there are Rishonim who think Matanos Lev Yonim, that the money that's given can only be used for food, things like that.
But then why would he be giving them two things?
Sorry?
Then why would he be giving them
two things? You gave them food to eat. You know, something to eat and something to drink. Shalach Lei. There's also nightmares in the Gears in this Gemara, which makes it more complicated as well. And the crystal gear is not really here, it's really in Bava Metzia, in terms of Matanos Lev Yonim, but, you know, just so you know. Shalach le kaimat kiyamta banu rabbeinu im mishlach monos ish le'iu Matanos Lev Yonim. So he said to him, you have fulfilled for us mishlach monos from one man to another and Matanos Lev Yonim. Amazing. Right? Rabba Shadar Leila Mari Bar Mar Bidei Abaye. So Rabba sent to Mari Bar Mar in the hands of Abaye. He used Abaye as a messenger, as a shliach, right? Mole Taska de Kaspa o Mole Kasa Kimcha de Avshona. Right? And so he gave basically a sack full of dates, right? Cracked wheat.
And what?
Cracked wheat. Right, so basically bulgur wheat. Right? Amar le abaye hashtamar mari yichal kala'a malka lihave dikula mitzavre loy nachis. He says, if a farmer became a king, right, he won't take the basket off his head, meaning he won't stop working, right? So it's similar, right? You now are the Rosh Hashiva, you Rabbah are the Rosh Hashiva of Kumdisa, meaning you're now a wealthy man, mm-hmm. and you're sitting not so nice to Mishlach on us, mm-hmm. right? It's not awful, it's edible, but it's like not great. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Okay.
Right? Okay, Shahadar Shadale Iu, Male Taska de Zangebila, Umale Kaska de Pilpelta Arichta. So then he said, you know what, I'm going to send a sack full of Zangebil. Zangebil is not, that ginger, no? And a full cup of spicy peppers. Amrabai Hashtar Amar Ana Sharile Chulia. V'iyu shadar li churfa. So now they're gonna say he sent me chulia, something sweet, and now I'm gonna send him very something like very spicy or like bitter, meaning not pleasant, right? Amra baya ki nafki mi bimar have savana ki matay lehasam kariv lishisin tsa ide shisin minik deira. Achi v'ushisin pluge uvishula basreisa havukaru le slikedar. So Abaye says, when I went out from Beimar, from your house, right from Rabba's house, right, I was savan, I was satisfied. When I arrived there, they at Maribara.
Abu Mar.
To the Maribar Mar. Right? They gave me 60 plates of, like, you know, nice food and 60 soups, right? And I ate their 60 portions, right? And the last thing that they said that they gave me was called like this roasted animal. It's like very nice, right? Over I lemechas tsa'a avasra'a. And I wanted to like basically keep eating. Even though I was very, very full and I really didn't have any room left, I just wanted to keep eating. Okay. Amra baya haynu damri inchi kafin anya v'lo yada inami ravcha levasima shchiach. So it says that's what people say, that maybe some people say that a poor person is hungry, doesn't even know it. Right? Meaning he didn't even realize he was still hungry until they brought out the last thing. Right? And then says there's always room for the seventh stomach. It's literally the second phrase. Okay. Abaye bar Avin ve'Rabbi Chanina bar Avin machlevisu dazaisu la'adadei. Okay, we pass it this way. Abaye bar Avin and Rabbi Chanina bar Avin would actually switch sudas, right? And the reason why is that they were very poor, right? And so this way they could fulfill the mitzvahs of Purim, right? And not actually spend any more money. And we pass it that way for poor people. That's what they should do. It's not really relevant, Baruch Hashem, these days so much, because thank God people are doing a little bit better, but, you know, to be aware. Amar Rava. And here we have a very, very famous line. L'gmara, Michayev inish levetsumi lefaraya de leyada v'inar haman lebaruch Mordechai. Right, a person's obligated to become intoxicated, says Rashi, only with wine. Other Rishonim say even with other alcoholic beverages, right? We probably pass it even with other alcoholic beverages, but better with wine, right? On Purim, until he can't tell the difference between cursed be Haman and blessed be Mordechai. The Gemara then says, Rabba ve, and this is really one of my favorite stories in the Gemara, Rabba ve Rabbi Zeira avdu su'udas Purim behade hadade. Right? Rabba and Rabbi Zeira made their su'udas Purim together.
I think I know this one.
You definitely know it's famous.
I definitely know this one. Yeah, I definitely
It's definitely one. Famous, so yes. Ibsum, right, they got very drunk. Kama Rabba Shachte Rabbi Zeira. Rabba stood up and shechted Rabbi Zeira. Lemachar, next day he was feeling guilty about it, right? Ba'i Rachme Ve'achie. I'm sorry?
Just a little bit.
So he requested mercy, he davened, and Rabbi Zeira came back to life. Baruch Hashem. Okay. L'shana Amar Lei Nathi Mar Ve'Navid Sudas Purim Ve'Adet. And then the next year, Rabba said to Rabbi Zeira, no, let's do it. So the Das Yisuda is rocking. Let's do it all over. Right? He says, no, I'm not going to get a miracle every single time. Not worth it. Which then raises the question, how does this relate to the previous statement in the Gemara? Right, is this a qualifier on this? So some Rishonim say, this is a statement saying that you can get drunk on Purim, just not that drunk. Not drunk, so drunk enough that this would happen. Other Rishonim say it makes no difference whatsoever. Which, you know, explains the common minhag to get disgustingly and roaringly drunk on Purim, which I recommend against strongly. Other Rishonim say that, no, this story comes to tell you that you should not get drunk on Purim at all. Famously, the Bir Halacha paskins that way. After, based on the Meiri, there aren't that many cases where that happens. I will leave everybody to decide what they're going to do, or to speak to me about it in some other context. But yes, this is a very fun sukkah. It's kind of an amazing story. But I do think that Stamazoid, as in Bli Kesher to Purim right now, as in does express an ethic on drinking, which I think is important to be stated, that there is danger involved and that it can lead to very inappropriate behavior, like murder, but not necessarily. And this is very important to mention on a college campus, I believe. Okay. I'm a Rav, although in fairness, I'm preaching to completely the wrong audience in this particular setting. Would be my guess. Not that I know, but like... Sorry?
Probably.
I mean, you're Russian, so maybe. I don't know. I'm a Rav. Su'udas Purim she'achla v'layla le'yotze yedei chayvase. Right? Right. Su'udas Purim that was in at night, you did not fulfill your obligation. Okay. Even though we pass in that you did not fulfill your obligation in life, the Ramah says there is mitzvah mitzvah. There's still a little bit of a mitzvah to have a Purim mitzvah tonight. It's a good idea to do so. Also with a little bit of alcohol, though, again, consumption should be, you know, controlled a little bit, especially at night.
Most people make that mistake and just...
And they get ridiculously drunk during the night and spend all day vomiting. Okay. My taima, why? Yemei mishteh v'simchat ziv. It says the days of drinking and happiness. Right? Like I said, it's fine to have a little bit of alcohol at night. I don't know anybody who's I actually know some people are opposed to it, but I don't, like as in the poskim, I'm mostly not opposed to that. However, it's in Kfar Askar, you're getting drunk on Purim, the Qum is during the day and not during the night. The Cholodeos. So it's preferable to avoid it if you can. Right. Ravashi Have Yosef Kamei de Rav. Not Rav Kahana. Who was it? To Dan Mimer. Naga Veloy Asu Rabbanon. Sorry. Rashi was sitting down with a Mimer and they were apparently expecting people to show up. And the Rabbanon didn't show up to the Suda. Started to get. Naga means there was a glow. So it was like the glow of the evening, right? And people, the Rabbanon weren't showing up from Relay. My Taimelo Asi Rabbanon said, why didn't it come? Right? We totally got ditched. Right? Tell them, these are fun sukkos, right? Dilma Taridi Bisudas Purim. Maybe they were busy with the Sudas Purim. Nice euphemism. Okay. Amarale Veloy Hafe Esher Lemichlal Beurta. He says, why didn't they eat yesterday? And then they could have come and, you know, hung out with us today. He says, Amarale Veloy Hafe Esher Lemichlal Beurta. Amarale Loishmiele Lemar Hada Amarava Sudas Purim Shachlabai Liyatsi Dechoas. You hear that Rava said that if you eat Sudas Purim at night, that you didn't fulfill your obligation. Everybody knows that. Okay. Amar le in. So it says that doesn't make any sense. It must have been Amar le lo, which is their correction, and that is obvious, right? Tana mine arben zinim v'dami le keman de manach bekise. And then he repeated it to himself 40 times, so as though it was something that was left for him in his pocket. Any questions? Okay, almost every comment in Smara we pass in La Loch in a literal sense. Right, Lach Holodeos, the core of the Purim should be during the day. Like I said, it's a good idea to have something at night, less important. alcohol, according to pretty much everybody, may be consumed, whereas it should be consumed to excess. I think the consensus is really not, but whatever, nobody's going to listen to me on that one. Mishloch mono should be two edible items, like I said, because the idea is that you're actually giving something that they could make a soda with if they wanted to. So it should be two items that are completely ready to consume. So, for example, giving somebody a raw carrot or a can of chickpeas probably does not fulfill the obligation.
But a raw carrot is ready to consume.
No, it's not. It needs to be peeled.
Okay. So is the problem with the problem would be with a can that you have to open it?
No, I just don't think that's like.
There are things that are easier to eat from a can.
Tuna or something. Mm-hmm. Tuna, if you're really feeling like going in that direction, but like.
Sure. I mean, you could eat that straight from the can. I mean.
Yeah, I think it's more that, like, it's not. But... I think it's more that it's not common. It's not a commonly eaten item in of itself, like just to straight devour a can of chickpeas.
Okay.
Right.
But the act of opening is not. Like, is not an issue.
And the act. No. Mm-hmm. No.
Because then you can say that about anything. Yeah. Anything.
No. Yes.
Okay.
Cannot be packaged.
Okay. Mishnah, I mean, it's also nice to give somebody something homemade on Purim, but yes, that is not strictly speaking necessary and challenging in the college environment. Again. Okay. Mishnah. Ein, Bein. Okay, now we're going to start a series of Mishnahs in the Masechta that are called the Ein Beins. The reason why they're called, and they actually call that, people call them the Ein Beins, and the reason why people call them the Ein Beins is because they're all about Ein Bein this to Ein Bein that, right? They're bringing comparison between two things that seem similar. So we're going to start with Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos, Ela Ochol Nefesh Bilvad. So there's no distinction whatsoever between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Obviously, this is an exaggeration. There are other distinctions between Yom Tov and Shabbos, but the Mishnah is saying there is no distinction between Yom Tov and Shabbos, except for the fact that Melechus Ochol Nefesh is mutter on Yom Tov, right? Now, it is important to note, since we're, you know, Adas in Lachi. Mori Varabi of Liechtenstein once pointed out there is in fact a machuk shonim how to understand the psura of Ochol Nefesh and Yom Tov. Right, Rashi says simply because Melacha and Yom Tov is on the one hand lechomer, right, on the other hand it's clashing with the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, which requires you to be able to cook on Yom Tov. Right, the Ramban says no. The point of it's a fundamentally different issur. The issur of Melacha on Shabbos is to not do Melacha. The Isser of Melacha on Yom Tov is so you won't be distracted from the point of the Yom Tov. But doing Melacha is actually not the point. Not doing Melacha is not the point, and therefore Melachas which are less distracting are mimela not problematic. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's just two interesting opinions, two interesting perspectives on how that works. Yeah. So it says the Gemara Halin Machshiriyah Echol Nefesh Zeh V'Zeh Shavim. There's no distinction between Machshiriyah Echol Nefesh. Meaning something you have to do in the lead up to getting food. Right? Like, I don't know. Sharpening a shechita knife, right? So that'd be aser on both of them. That's the same one. Masdis in the loyker Rabbi Yehuda, and this is inconsistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The son, you know, we have a brayse in ben yom tov l'shabbos elochol nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda matir af machshiri ochol nefesh. But the brayse says there's no distinction except for ochol nefesh, and Rabbi Yehuda adds machshiri ochol nefesh. My time is Tanakam. What's the reason for Tanakam's opinion? Haruka who below machshirif. Pasuk said he yom tov who, right? This ochol nefesh is what will do that they've done to you, and not the machshirim, not the things that you need to do in advance. Meaning that stuff you really should have done before Yom Tov came in. Right? And Rabbi Yehuda, lachem, lechol tzorchehem. So Rabbi Yehuda says, for you, who you have a doyase yase lachem, that can be done for you, anything that you need to do. Right? It's mutter. Ve'idach nami haktiv lachem, and didn't Tanakama know that there's a word in the pasuk that says lachem. Lachem veloy leovdei klachavim lachem veloy leklavim. Okay, so that we pass in this way. It's important is that you can perform malacha on Yom Tov if it's mutter for yourself, for another Jew, and not for animals, and not for non-Jews. Right? And this led to an iser derabanan on having non-Jews over at all on Yom Tov, because it can then you might forget and end up cooking more for them. On Yom Tov itself, right? The exception to that rule may be, according to some poskim, is somebody is a candidate for candidate for kiruv. If you're in a situation that you want to invite such a person over and ask a shayla. Okay. V'idach nami haksiv hu, right? And didn't Rabbi Yehuda know it says hu, right? Which was the pasuk Tanakhama got from. Ksiv hu v'ksiv lachen kam machshim she'efshal asos in ber Yom Tov v'kam machshim she'efshal asos in ber Yom Tov. It says who, and it says lachem, so that comes to teach us a rule, right? Things that you could have done in advance, you really should do in advance. Things that you couldn't do in advance, you need to make the attempt, and you can perform them in Yom Tov. So, for example, my example, sashachni shchita tonight, can certainly be done before Yom Tov comes in, right? I'm trying to think of what's a good example of something that really could not... No, I'm usually not thinking of one right now. Grinding pepper, right? Although many people, grinding pepper could not be done in advance, not because it can't, but because it tastes different. Right. Freshly ground pepper actually has a distinct flavor to it. So that might be a case of something that's eshalasa, that's yeshalasa, so mibodyom. If it's not a general good rule of thumb in terms of melech tzachal nefesh on Yom Tov, unless something that you're certain about, meaning it involves cooking, right? It's always a good idea to ask a shayla. Just because the rules of, you can already see in this Gemara, the rules of what's allowed and what's not allowed in terms of melech tzachal nefesh are more complex than they appear on the surface, and this is really just scratching the surface. It gets much more complicated than this. So it's good. Like I said, cooking is mutter, moving a flame from one place to another, from one candle to another, that sort of thing is mutter. Other things, if you need to do them, you should ask. Okay. Mishnah. Ein bein Shabbos Yom Kippurim, Elish Hazez Dona Bidei Adam, Vezez Dona Bidei Kareth. So we have in the second Ein bein, right? There's no distinction in Shabbos and Yom Kippur, except for if you do an Isser on Shabbos, Bezodon, meaning there was a warning given by two Edim who also you do it. And you said, don't care, I'm going to do it anyway. And then you went in, and you have to actually say that, by the way. And then you went in front of a Bezdin, right? And the Bezdin interviewed the Edom and da-da-da-da, right? And the conclusion was reached that the Edom were telling the truth and that you, in fact, did it. And you had said, Ahol Pichin, you had said, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway, right? And they had warned you when they told you not to do it, that if you did it, you would get Skila. Then you can get Skila for breaking Shabbos. The relatively high bar. Yom Kippur, you can't get Skila under any circumstances. There is no circumstance getting Skila in Yom Kippur. You can get Koris. Now, it should be noted, we paskin that if you can get Kareis, you can also get Malkus. Right? We will give you Malkus if you got Kareis. Right? In addition to the Kareis. The Kareis, your problem. But we'll give you Malkus too. Okay? Malkus and Gemara Malkus, but that's the way we paskin. So, Ha Le'inyan Tashlumin, Ze Vaze Shavin. Basically that you, if you break, Yom Kippur or Shabbos in a way that would ordinarily necessitate a monetary payment, then you're actually potter. So let's say you steal something in Shabbos, and the act of stealing, you take it outside of a house, right? So that's a Nisra Tzol, which is a Dorais on Shabbos, you get the Nisra Skila, but you also stole, so you should have to return the object, so you actually don't have to return the object, because you're going to get killed, right? So that's a rule called Kamli Bidram Mini. So Gemara is saying that's true for Yom Kippur as well. Right? If you break Yom Kippur in a way which would narrowly require payment, then you'll be passed from the payment because you got the kares. Right? Rabbi Nechumia ben Akana oimeh hi desanya Rabbi Yechuna ben Akana ya oses Yom Kippurim k'shabes la tashlumin v'ashabes t'chaim nasha patr min tashlumin v'yom gerim t'chaim nasha patr min tashlumin. Rabbi Nechumia ben Akana said that they made Yom Kippur like Shabbos for the purposes of monetary payments, just as on Shabbos you are executed, and therefore you are exempt from monetary payments. So too on Yom Kippur, you are going to get a die because you got kares, and therefore you are exempt from monetary payments. Tan tnan hasam kol chayav kriyas shalaka nifteru midei kriyasam shneimar veniklal achicha beinecha kevin shalaka harei hu keachicha divrei Rabbi Chananya Ananya ben Gamliel. Right, so Rabbi Chananya, we have a Mishnah over there. Right, anybody who was high of Kares and got Malkus and did Shuva, right, is the unspoken but necessary condition here. They will be, they will no longer have that is the Kares on them if they got Malkus, right, because when Nikla Achicha Beinecha, right, your brother was disgraced before you, is how the pasuk translates. So since he was disgraced, he's now again your brother, right. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Chalukin alav chavera shel Rabbi Chanina ben Chananya ben Gamliel. Rabbi Yochanan says this in Machlokes Tanaim. Right, not everybody agrees with the statement. Rama Rava, Amri Be Rav Tanani Rein Rav. Tena im ben yom kippurim l'shabbos el shazeh zdoine bidei adam zdeh zdoine behi kareis vim isa idi vid idi bidei adam. And Rav says, what's the proof? Because we, in Rav's basement, we taught that there's no difference between Yom Kippur and Shabbos except for your Shabbos. People are in charge of punishing you, and on Yom Kippur you get Kareis. And if it was true that you get Malkus in the case of Kareis, then both of them, people are responsible for punishing you, right? Hi Amar Rav Nachman, Hamane Rabbi Yitzchak, Hida Amar Malkus Chayavi Krisis Leika, Desai Rav Yitzchak Vemer, Erkri Bechrisis Bechayu, So it says, no, this is a Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion that you can't get Malkus for Nisar Kareis. Right? So he is the other opinion. Why? Because we have in a Braisa that Rabbi Yitzchak says that the Chayavei Kareis people getting Kareis were within the general category of people who get Malkus for Nisar Lav. Right? And why did we need to say that specifically that you get Kareis for sleeping with your sister? Right? To teach us that you get Kareis, but not Malkus. You don't get lashes. Okay? Rav Ashi Amar, Afilu Zeima Rabbanon Zeikar, Zona Didadam Zeikar, Zona Bikareis. Says Rav Ashi, no. Even if you say that it's the opinion that you can get Malkus for an Isra Kareis, the primary punishment in the case of Shabbos is Skila. Right? You can also get Kareis for an Isra Shabbos and when you didn't get Skila. But the way we envisage it, the primary punishment is skila. So the primary punishment for eating or drinking lach on Yom Kippur is kareis, right? Does that mean you can't get malchus? Not necessarily. That's a secondary step. And since you got kareis, we can now give you malchus to pass through you from the kareis. But the primary punishment is kareis. Any questions? Awesome. We'll continue, please, tomorrow.